You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Mark Anderson. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
No problem, Dave. Good to be here. We haven't done a podcast in a while, so I'm ready to fire away about Bilderberg.
Excellent. So what's going on with our friends, the criminals?
The illustrious chums, yes. Well, calling attention to listeners about our recent stories online and in hard copy in the edition number 15 and 16, dated April 11 and 18 of 2016, I reported on Will Bilderberg Halt Brexit, and Brexit, of course, being short for British Exit of the European Union. And that is, of course, a referendum to take place June 23rd, a rather important one at that. And Bilderberg, according to Philip Hollabone, a member of the parliament there, is leaning in, intervening, and interfering with the rights of the British people, with their will, the will of the voters, to choose cleanly and openly whether to stay in the European Union that, of course, Bilderberg had a hand in building in the first place throughout the 1950s and 60s, through all the different metamorphoses that it went through till we finally got the EU. So Bilderberg is not real keen on people pulling out of their creation. So this is one issue that I'm still watching, but that we've got posted now. And more will come of this, of course, when the vote happens leading up to it and after it happens on June 23rd.
And what are the people in the know betting is going to happen?
You know, that's a tough call right now. What I've been focusing on is Bilderberg involvement and how Philip Hollabone raised this on the floor of the House of Commons, no less, saying some very important things. And I'm looking for his exact quote. He said, March 14th, how can it be in any way acceptable for members of Her Majesty's government from the Prime Minister downwards to encourage foreign heads of state to comment on the EU referendum? Is this not demonstrative of the fact that the International Bilderberg Group is ganging up against the British people? But of course, as my sources overseas and others tell me, the people ganging up on the British people includes the Prime Minister, David Cameron, who attended Bilderberg 2013, at least openly. There's suspicion that he attends other years unknowingly. And of course, you can never totally rely on the Bilderberg's attendee list anyway. It's just an approximation. But Cameron is actively involved in trying to keep Britain in the EU on Bilderberg's behalf, just like he's actively involved in something we'll talk about in a few minutes about exploiting the Panama Papers issue to get another outcome. And that outcome is also something that Bilderberg has been seeking, according to my predecessor, Jim Tucker, for many, many years, and that is the architecture, the infrastructure for a world tax system. A virtual global IRS could come from that. So Cameron is knowingly and willfully, for starters, keep Britain in the EU that Bilderberg helped build. And he's been doing that, as I reported, by meeting over the last almost 2 years, often behind closed doors, with key European leaders. And the idea is to create a document, which they did, called the Best of Both Worlds. And the central core of that document is that they're saying that if Brits will stay in the European Union, then they'll be blessed with the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the trade deal that's a sibling to the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That, too, is backed heavily by the Bilderberg interests. And so they're using scare stories in the Brexit issue, saying if we pull out of the EU, the wells will run dry, the sky will no longer rain, the mountains will crumble, and Britain will fall into the sea. It's virtually that bad, the scare stories, the fear porn, as some of my friends in the UK are saying. Gloom and doom is predicted if Brits have the tenacity to pull out of the EU. That's just the beginning, though, as in the lead up to the Bilderbergers announcing they're going to meet in Dresden, Germany, June 9 through 12. These are the issues that are really front and center right now, regardless of what they might talk about this year in Dresden. These are the key issues right now.
England really isn't involved in the monetary union, right?
That's right. The one thing they couldn't get the Brits to agree to, and Brits, the more conservative ones especially, do have a certain pride in their country. They can take or leave the crown sometimes. They're not sure what to think of the king and the queen, but they do want their pound, and they just couldn't get that to wash when they joined the European Union. The Eurozone just wouldn't work. It was so unpopular that even these manipulators couldn't get that to stick. So they threw the Brits a bone, if you will, and let them keep the pound sterling.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they've exploited the fear of people with Brexit, saying that if we can't trade with the 28 or so member European Union, if the Brits can't trade with them, with that bloc, and remember, the whole idea was to make the British economy overly dependent on exports to the European Union, because the whole idea of these trade deals, the TPP and this transatlantic deal, is to enrich the few and to make all countries overly interdependent. You know, the world always says some interdependence. A totally independent nation might not be a realistic thing, but they make them so interdependent that no one nation can be what you would call reasonably self-sufficient. So the Brits have been made overly dependent on exports to the EU, and now they're given this fear porn. If you pull out of the EU, the ships won't sail, the sun won't shine, we'll lose hundreds of millions of dollars in export income, jobs will rot on the vine if they're born at all. And as some friends of mine at the UK column who keep a real close eye on this have said, if they would allow the exit from the EU, Britain, over time, through a little bit of pain, would regain the relative self-sufficiency it used to have. Being an island nation, it always had some dependency on outside imports, but it would regain its dairy industry much more. It would regain a lot of things, given time, given an opportunity to be independent of the EU. But through this fear peddling, Cameron, working on behalf of Chatham House, which is the CFR's sibling there in England, and the CFR and Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, both being spokes connecting to the Bilderberg hub, they're all birds of a feather. Operating on behalf of these interests, Cameron is really pouring on the fear about should the Brits want to exit the EU. But now he's going one better, and that is saying that with the Panama Papers, we've got to turn up the heat on forming an international cooperation toward an international organization to not allow there to be tax cheats anywhere. There should be no place to hide for tax cheats. What's ironic, Dave, is this came up at Bilderberg 2013 when I was over there in the UK. This was already bubbling under the surface, as some of my contacts told me over there, where they were already, 3 years ago, pumping this fear porn about Starbucks and Google and Apple evading British taxes, and how terrible is that? We have to remember that when they formed the Federal Reserve System and passed the income tax the same year here in the U.S. as the 16th Amendment, they had the same modus operandi. They said, we've got to have the Federal Reserve to have a stable currency and the income tax, and we'll go after those robber barons, the gilded class. We're going to get those Carnegies and Rockefellers, when in fact the Carnegies and Rockefellers were backing the Fed. They wanted the income tax, and this is how they work. It's psyops. They tap into our native sense of justice and get us to be angry and have an uprising, if you will, toward the rich and mighty, when in fact the rich and mighty are the ones that are stirring everyone up.
Yeah, they're good at that.
They're very good at it, but we have to recognize that it is an age-old tactic. It's kind of like having an agent provocateur at a riot. It's a similar kind of psychology. If you take the Panama Papers, and I'll give a little taste to listeners what's coming up in AFP in an article I just finished, online and or hard copy, right after they announced Bilderberg that they probably won't meet in Chantilly, Virginia this year, as first believed, and in fact they'll meet in Dresden, Germany, right around that time, and you helped me bring that out, Dave, to confirm that apparently they are meeting in Germany, although I'm still checking that. But right around that time is when the Panama Papers came out, and a quick look at the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists that's credited with breaking this provocative Panama Papers story. They're a project of the Center for Public Integrity, whose top financiers includes George Soros' Open Society Foundations. George Soros is interested in tax evasion? Really? And the Rockefeller Family Fund, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and the Carnegie Corporation of New York are financing this journalistic outfit? I mean, come on. So what are these people really talking about when they say, oh, we got to go after these tax cheats, there should be no place to hide? Back on 2013, the UK column was noting that Google, Amazon, Apple, and Starbucks are all in the UK's crosshairs for evading tax. It's outrageous, the British press was saying at the time. We should all experience fury. But what's interesting, too, is at the time, Cameron wrote a letter to the British dependencies, Britain's overseas territories, and the Crown dependencies. This is 3 years ago, hammering away for a global standard in tax transparency, as he put it, quote, end quote. And he said at the time, 3 years ago, long before the Panama Papers, that the EU is getting on board and they're going to go after all these tax cheats. And so what it looks like in many respects, Dave, is that they needed a bigger crisis than just Apple and Google and so on missing out or falling a little bit short of paying their domestic taxes for their operations in the UK. They needed something bigger. They needed something worldwide. And the Panama Papers, with George Soros waiting in the wings and two different Rockefeller funds, all of a sudden, they sponsor this journalistic outfit that no one's ever heard of before, at least I hadn't. And boom, 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 bada bing, we have the Panama Papers, the perfect storm, if you will. And then in the modern day, in the present, we have the Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne. He's the equivalent of the Treasury Secretary in the UK. He's a faithful Bilderberg fixture. He goes every year, at least for the last several years he has. And he's been carrying on what Cameron started 3 years ago. And that ties into the G20, having received a report from another outfit. So what George Osborne said was, and this is just April 14th, today we deal another hammer blow against those who will hide their illegal tax evasion in the dark corners of the financial system. Britain will work with our major European partners to find out who really runs the secretive shell companies and trusts that have been used as conduits for evading tax, laundering money, and benefiting from corruption. And then the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development got in on this and went to the G20 meeting in Washington just a few days ago. And the head of that OECD, the Secretary General Angel Gurria, he informed the G20, our standards on tax transparency are robust. They need to be effectively implemented worldwide by everyone with no exceptions, so there's nowhere left to hide. So the Rockefellers and George Soros are interested in there being nowhere left to hide for people with money that might want to park some of that money outside the tax till. And that can include celebrities, it can include smaller players, but that's just it. It seems like they want to develop a worldwide tax infrastructure that would catch a lot of flies, but I think typically the flies it would catch would not have the name Soros or Rockefeller, but would be smaller players and even the middle class, the almost rich, the sort of rich, and not the super rich.
Does anybody even believe what these people are saying anymore? I really doubt it. I mean, it just sounds like such a hollow joke to say the things that these people are saying. They're going to find these tax cheats. I mean, they're the tax cheats. Do you think people know that? And what I wanted to ask you about, as far as Bilderberg goes, is, you know, a lot of people will say, well, and we've talked about this before because we've been doing interviews on Bilderberg for many years, maybe 6 years, I think,
right,
since you've been covering them. A lot of people will say, well, Bilderberg really is nothing. They're overblown. They really don't do anything. It's just a bunch of people who think that they're important. They're really not. And they don't control anything. It's a joke that people would think that. Now, I know you've talked about how some of the stuff that Bilderberg has discussed at previous meetings has been implemented. Policy has been implemented along those lines. But is there anything definitive that people can look at and say, well, yeah, Bilderberg was definitely, without a doubt, pushing this, and this actually happened? This occurred. Bilderberg is in favor of this, and this actually was put into place. Anything like that that you could tell the listeners that, yeah, Bilderberg really is responsible for the New World Order?
First, I would preface my remarks by saying that Bilderberg is part of a network. A lot of people use the pyramid analogy, but that's more difficult because then you're talking about a vertical thing where you're wondering who's in charge of whom. Is it the Committee of 300? Is it the Order of the Garter? If you look at Bilderberg as a hub and the others as spokes, it becomes much clearer. The CFR being a spoke, the Chatham House, the Royal Institute being another, the Brookings Institution. Well, for example, a member of Brookings was speaking at the Brookings headquarters on Massachusetts Avenue in D.C. I was 20 feet away from him listening, and he was talking about the idea of a EU army and a European central bank operating more along the lines of the Fed. And with Bilderberg, it's a little more subtle, and their brethren at the Trilateral Commission, that's a younger group. But inevitably, what crosses the Bilderberg agenda and Brookings and the CFR and the Chatham House is a common topic. And the EU Army has taken another step forward by there being exercises with the British and French forces in very recent times, like just this year. So these things are batted around in the network, and the next thing you know, the military is having exercises that point toward the creation of an EU army and the transformation of NATO to something else. Of course, you have Bill Clinton in 91 going to Baden-Baden, Germany for the Bilderberg meeting that year, and being an obscure boy from Hope, Arkansas, who was then governor of Arkansas, which is hard enough to do, and then being president the following year when already he was an obscure, rather scandal-ridden Arkansas governor. He goes to Bilderberg in 91. He's president by the following year. And as I mentioned in AFP last week, on page 14, Hillary, their gal. This was right next to the article showing a picture of Philip Hollabone and the Brexit issue that we talked about a few minutes ago. Bill Clinton, Vernon Jordan, admits this, and it was reported in the New York Times as well, an establishment flagship. So Vernon Jordan, a black attorney with a pretty good pedigree, has been to Bilderberg a number of times, and even the New York Times admitted that Jordan, quote, took Mr. Clinton to the Bilderberg conference in Germany. So he was taken there by this high-powered attorney, and as night becomes day, it's not too hard to see that Bill Clinton got the nod from that group, and that gave him an extra leg up to be president because he was literally escorted there, taken there by this Vernon Jordan. So Bilderberg is part of the parallel government that even Benjamin Disraeli and William Pitt referred to as already taking formation back a couple of centuries ago. You have your so-called legitimate government, and then you have the global governance crowd, and Bilderberg and the Trilateral Commission form another government. I call it private government. They're not content with democratic rule, only to a very limited extent. They have to have their own candidate approval system, their own economic wheel, if you will, that has to turn a certain way and produce a certain kind of result. The TTIP treaty, the TPP treaty, and to reconstruct the world economy and the governance system along their lines. It's not always crystal clear on the cause and effect. I mean, I'll just be straight out honest, but that's the whole point. That's why having secretive groups like this is such a problem, because you have things come out of nowhere. You have candidates and policies that seemingly come out of nowhere, and no one can get a handle on why they happen. And that's why AFP has taken the lead over so many years, starting with Jim Tucker and the Liberty Lobby before him, in exposing Bilderberg, because we can't have secret government where we don't know rhyme nor reason why our world is the way it is. So we go after them for their secrecy. That's the very reason. That's the very problem. And to those that think they're just a harmless group having a meeting, Michael Meacher, a late British parliamentarian who spoke out on the floor of the House of Commons in 2013 on Bilderberg, the first major legislator to ever do so. For what it's worth, he died a year or two later, and he really wasn't that old, but we'll leave that alone. But at any rate, he hammered Bilderberg for about 20 minutes and took the former steering committee member, Kenneth Clark, a British official, took him to task on the floor there for having attended Bilderberg 2013 in Watford, England. And Michael Meacher, this parliamentarian, the late MP, he said there's no way, and he was a very experienced Labour Party politician, he said there's no way people of this caliber are going to go to all this trouble and expense to meet just to have a friendly fireside chat about stock prices. When you consider the old guard there, Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, the old guard of the Bilderberg Group, they obviously want to be able to make a certain amount of planning and decisions with no media other than their select media invited. And I call it off the grid. We call it the cone of silence, using the get smart metaphor. You and I have talked about that before, Dave.
Yes.
But the very idea of secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, as JFK said. Just because you're wealthy doesn't give you the right to rule the world. So much more could be said, but what we're talking about today, it's very clear through George Osborne, the UK Treasury guy, and through David Cameron, Bilderberg is trying to prevent a referendum where the Brits leave the EU. As Martin Wolf, a Bilderberg journalist, has written about in the Financial Times, they're trying to discourage that with everything they can. And then, of course, they're trying to exploit the Panama Papers to create a global infrastructure for taxation. And Jim Tucker warned about that years ago in his book, The Bilderberg Diary, and in his AFP articles, that they were looking for a way to justify a worldwide taxation infrastructure. And so the influence is there. The handwriting's on the wall, the fingerprints are on the documents.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mark, for that detailed analysis. And that's what the listeners look for, is your intimate knowledge with these things, because most people really can't be bothered with paying attention to these different groups. And that's why they depend on you to elucidate this. And thank you for doing that. And please keep us updated on anything you hear about Bilderberg.
I certainly will. And I'll mention one other thing in passing. A new Bilderberg member on the scene attended last year in Austria is Jim Messina, and he co-chairs the Priorities USA Action, a super PAC. As an American citizen, as far as I know, I think he is, he helped get David Cameron reelected last year, then formed this PAC, Priorities USA Action. He's also CEO of Messina Group, and he pledged that he'll do whatever it takes to get Hillary Clinton elected. And he attended last year's Bilderberg meeting in Austria, and one of the topics that they released was U.S. elections. So, taken at face value at least, that doesn't bode well, but it might explain why nothing sticks to Hillary, no matter what conflict of interest seems to happen with her and Benghazi and the emails and scores of other scandals. Nothing sticks to the Clintons. And so that strongly suggests protection from the inside, big time. And Michael Mukasey, who's an establishment pro-Zionist legal figure, even he has said that under the United States Code, given what Hillary has done in Benghazi alone with the emails, she is unqualified to hold any U.S. office whatsoever.
Yeah.
Let alone president. So,
yeah, Clinton Foundation takes care of that.
Yeah, talk about media and other power center protection. Hillary has got to be protected. Anyone else would have been indicted a long, long time ago.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. Mark, please keep us posted about anything that's happening with our friends of the Bilderberg Group.
Certainly will. And those listening right now, before our next hard copy comes out and or online articles, there'll be much more on the Panama Papers. So
excellent. Thanks, Mark. Talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Dave.